Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the reading today, the Gospel in Matthew 4:19, and Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people." But that's not the end of the story. That all sounds good, doesn't it? You like fishing? Fishing for people should be a bit of a cinch. Oh, that's good. But then he goes on in chapter 10, where he really sends them out now to do this so-called fishing. He says, "See, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And you need to read this whole chapter. Verse 22 says, "And you'll be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you," and so on. I think some of those verses are on the front of the bulletin as well. So, dear Lord, this business of making disciples is not totally simple, and it can involve a lot of suffering. But, Lord, help us to think of the suffering for those if they're not evangelized and they die without you. So help us to be prepared to pay a price for telling others about you, and help us to live a life that's attractive to others. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, go and make disciples of all nations. Remember last week we said that if people ask you, what are you here for? Well, it's pretty easy. We're here to make disciples. We're here to worship God and to make disciples. And now, of course, it's a bit more involved than that, but that's the big one. Go and make disciples. We saw that Jesus, before he returned to heaven, said it over and over again in different settings. He said to the disciples, in different words, "Go and make disciples of all nations, to the ends of the earth," and so on. "Be witnesses. Wherever you go, be witnesses to me." That's what Jesus was doing on earth. Or he did more, of course. He gave his life as a ransom for us because he was the Son of God. But then he sent out the people, his followers, to say, "Tell everybody about it. They all need to know. I want to save all people, so they all need to know. They'll only be saved if they hear it and believe it. And you're the ones who have to tell them. I'm not going to send the angels. It's your job. It's the job of the church. That's why we exist, to make disciples." As Luther said, and we quoted this last week, if we were just here to go to heaven, then we may as well be throttled the moment we're baptized. No, we're here to spread the word. That's why we live between our baptism and the time we die. And that's not easy. Yusuf, a 20-something old boy in the Middle East, doesn't say where, was about to commit suicide. He was so fed up with his faith, his Muslim faith, where he got no help, or he felt he didn't, and his life had just been a total failure, one after the other. And he was there, he'd taken the lid off his pill bottle that he was going to take his life with, and suddenly God kind of spoke to him, gave him a vision. It was a vision of his grandfather who had become a Christian and was now living in America. Wonder why he'd gone to America. I think I know why. To save his life, probably. And he remembered an incident with his grandfather where his grandfather was watching television and he went and sat on his grandfather's lap and his grandfather was watching a program about fish swimming against the current. Salmon, in fact, salmon swimming against the current, as you know they do. And his grandfather said, "Yusuf, Christians are like those fish, always swimming against the current, against the world, if you like. The ways of the world are always against the way of Christ." That may not be totally correct, but basically it's correct. "But although they may struggle, the fish that swim against the current are full of life. And those that swim easily downstream with the current or with the world, those fish are dead." Now, that really gave Yusuf some heart. And he screwed the lid back on his pill bottle. And he decided to pray. But he did something he'd never done before, he'd never thought of doing. He prayed to the God of his grandfather, to Jesus. And this was his prayer. And I'm not saying these are the sort of prayers you should pray. I'm just telling you this is the prayer he prayed. He prayed, he asked Jesus to make everything right in his life. That was a big ask. And to do it within 24 hours. And then I won't kill myself. The next morning when he woke up, he went to sleep after that. He must have had some peace. He went to sleep. When he woke up the next morning, there was a man sitting on the end of his bed, and it was his uncle, whom he probably hardly knew. And his uncle told him that he was a Christian. And so they got talking, and then they started to secretly meet quite a bit after that. And Yusuf became a Christian, and his uncle gave him a Bible, which he read secretly at home. And he hid it under his bed, but one day his mother found the Bible, and then all hell broke loose. And from then on he was persecuted by his parents. Despite this, Yusuf continued to swim against the current, telling his friends about Jesus, ministering to young Muslims wherever he found them, and using the internet to help young Arabs to find Christ. It's not easy work being a Christian in a lot of countries of the world, but Jesus calls us to be his followers and to share him wherever we live, whether we're there or here. When Jesus called his first followers, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fish for people." Fishing for fish can be frustrating, I think. I'm not a fisherman. Not for fish. Are any of you keen fishermen? Yes, John? You ever get frustrated? Yes, you do. Yes? Very much. Well, there you go. Yeah. And fishing for people, I don't know if it's frustrating. It can be frustrating, but it can be very difficult. It can lead to suffering as they reject you, as their friend, maybe. Later, Jesus said to the disciples whom he called to be fishers of people, he said, "I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves." And somebody's written, "In the history of the world, no sheep has ever won a fight with a wolf," unless you know better. That's not very comforting, is it? To some people who are sent out to make disciples. And yet Jesus says, don't be afraid. This is all in Matthew chapter 10. "They might be able to kill your body, but not your soul. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus cares for sparrows, and you're worth a lot more. "You will be hated by all because of me, but whoever stands firm to the end will be saved." We might think that following Jesus would make for an easy life. And sometimes we con people a little bit. You know, people have got problems and we say, if you just followed Jesus, if you just turned, repented and followed Jesus, everything would work out good for you. Well, yes and no. Our troubles will not all go away. Our sins will be forgiven, and that's pretty good. And when we die, we'll go to heaven, and that's pretty good, I think, especially as I get older. But there's a long time between our baptism and our going to heaven for most of us. And those are years where the hard work is loving God when no one much else does, loving your neighbour as yourself when they're hard to love, telling others about the love of Jesus on the cross to forgive their sins and in the resurrection to give them eternal life. And when you try to tell people in whatever words you use, it doesn't always go well, does it? And they're not always saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jesus says, "I've not come to bring peace, but a sword." This is in Matthew 10 as well. "I've come to turn a man against his father and a daughter against her mother." And you don't have to go to Iran for this to happen. People in Mount Barker can fall out with their parents when they become Christians, or if they talk about the Christian faith in their homes. That's true, isn't it? You can lose your friends when you live an openly Christian life, when you decide to behave yourself at a party or something, as you'd think Jesus would probably do if he was there. A young woman became a Christian and she asked her new pastor, "Will I now have to give up all my non-Christian friends?" And he said, "No. They'll give you up. Well, some will and some won't, of course. But there's a price to pay for following Jesus. Are you paying that price? Are you prepared to pay that price? Are you a Christian on the cheap? Are you a recipient of cheap grace, as Bonhoeffer called it? Forgiveness without following Jesus. I want my sins forgiven, all right, and I want to go to heaven, but all the rest we'll just forget about. Receiving Jesus yourself, for yourself, I, myself, and me, but not sharing him with anybody else. Wanting to live with Jesus in heaven, but not wanting to live like him on earth. Yusuf knew that receiving Jesus as your Saviour meant sharing Jesus with others so that they too can be saved. He knew that sharing Jesus was risky business. He knew that sharing Jesus might lead to suffering. It might even lead to his death, just like it led Jesus to his death for doing the work of God on earth. But nothing stopped Yusuf from sharing Jesus. It seems to me from my reading, and I do quite a bit in this area, that in Muslim countries and in communist countries, the more suffering there is, the more people tell people about Jesus, because they can see the difference so clearly, the difference Jesus makes in a person's life. They don't want their friends and their neighbours to miss out on what Jesus comes to bring. The more persecution, the bolder people become in taking risks to spread the gospel. You remember St. Paul, Saul as he was called at the time, how he went around persecuting Christians and then he became one. And immediately he began to preach Christ. No one even had to tell him to do it. He just went out and did it. And immediately he was persecuted. And he was for the rest of his life. And that wasn't by accident, because God had said of him, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Almost all the apostles were killed for witnessing to Jesus. And when the first persecution started, did that stop the early Christians from witnessing? Just the opposite. It says, a great persecution broke out, this is after the death of Stephen, against the church, and all except the apostles were scattered, driven out of Jerusalem, and they preached the word wherever they went. These weren't the apostles, these were the people. This was you. You were scattered, let's say, and you went around preaching the gospel wherever you went, wherever you were sent. Suffering doesn't stop witnessing. Suffering is not necessarily opposed to the will of God. The apostles, we're told in Acts 5, rejoiced because they'd been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus. If we talk to our neighbours about Jesus and they call us mad or some other name, that's really par for the course. If we speak up for what is right at work, hopefully not at your work, Andy, but at work, at your workplace, you might get ridiculed for it by some people at least, but you're simply doing what you're called to do. Now, of course we should pray that we do it in the wisest possible way, and of course we should ask God to pour his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that when we speak the truth, we speak it in the most loving way that we possibly can. And of course, we need to lead questionable lives, as we learned about in Elders, such good and loving lives that people ask us questions about them. Why are you like that? Why do you follow this Jesus? But after all that, don't be surprised if people still don't like us much, even hate us. St. Peter says to suffering Christians, don't be surprised at the painful ordeal you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. And Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Do you get that? You are the light of the world. Everyone who does evil hates the light. If the world hates you, remember it first hated me. We have a decision to make. Do we want to live with Christ or with the world? It's a daily decision, really. If we live with Christ, there will be suffering, bound to be. And if we live with the world, we might get away with an easy time on this earth. Do we want to travel through life on a luxury liner or on a battleship? That's another choice. Passengers on a luxury liner can expect to live a happy, self-indulgent, carefree life. Passengers on a battleship can expect to be shot at and to engage in battle. That's what they're for, isn't it? Which ship do you think most followers of Jesus Christ will be found on? I pray that it's on a battleship, the ship under attack, the ship that's taking followers of Jesus out to live, to fight the battles for Jesus, of sharing Jesus with other people. Not bringing death to people, but bringing life to people. Here's the choice that Jesus puts it, and it's also in Matthew chapter 10. This is it. Seek your life for yourself, and what will happen? You'll lose it. You'll lose it. Lose your life for Jesus and in the spread of the gospel, and you'll find it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.